A reading from Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 to 13 and 22 through 30. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good, I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good, and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. So he spent the night there, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, Let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, What is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, Please tell me your name. But he said, Why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
My full given name is Obadiah Zarephath Ballinger. It barely fits on a driver's license. When we had to put our names at the top of our papers in elementary school, I was always the last person done. I didn't know how to spell my middle name for the longest time, so I used to spell it Zero Path. To know my name is to very quickly know something of the story of my life. Because as soon as I tell someone my full name, questions or comments arise, and the story of its origin generally comes out. Some of you know that I was born and raised in a cult. I got my name from the cult leader. Like many of the other children I grew up with, my name came from wherever this person's finger landed at random in the Bible. I could have been Jesus. Could have been Judas. But here's the thing. Despite all the other malarkey about the cults and my upbringing, I believe there may have been a divine hand in my name. Because Obadiah means servant of God. My vocation named before I could have ever chosen it for myself. The name Obadiah holds my history and my identity in one word. What's the story of your name? Do you know where it comes from or what it means? Has your name changed over the years through marriage or divorce or remarriage? Were you baptized or confirmed in a tradition that gave another name at that moment, perhaps a saint's name? Each of our names and nicknames holds our history and our identity. And it was no different for Jacob. One meaning of the word Jacob is the one who grabs by the heel. He came by that name when he was born, holding his twin Esau in the womb by the heel when he was born, so that he could be born first. Jacob has other connotations also, the name, none of them positive. It means a cheater, a trickster, an overreacher, supplanter, or simply a heel. Jacob captured this man's history and formed his identity for years and years. He fought mightily and struggled his whole life. His mother, Rebecca, thought she would rather die than give birth to these twins, Esau and Jacob, wrestling inside her. The boys were fierce rivals as children and adults, as opposite from each other as you can imagine. The younger Jacob consistently outmaneuvering the more powerful, rugged, and manly Esau. First, he withheld a meal when Esau came back hungry from hunting. Jacob held the food ransom until Esau gave away his birthright. A few years later, mother Rebecca helped Jacob trick blind father Isaac into giving the eldest blessing to Jacob rather than Esau. So much for family values in the Bible. The two were at each other's throats, these boys, until Jacob fled for his life. That was the last time Jacob saw Esau until this story, up until this point. And now, 20 years later, God calls Jacob back to his ancestral home, back to Isaac and Rebekah and Esau. As we get to today's reading, Jacob learns that Esau is coming to meet him with an army of 400 men. Jacob is a man in crisis. As the sun goes down by the river Jabbok, tomorrow he will face sure destruction at the hands of Esau's army. His history from long ago has finally come back to haunt him. Sending all that he has on ahead of him, Jacob is left in the dark by himself, and there Jacob wrestles all night long, even with God, we're told. Renowned Bible scholar Walter Brueggemann says of this passage, "In the night, the divine antagonist tends to take on the features of others with whom we struggle in the day." And here God is confronting Jacob, the trickster, with all that he has been his whole life. Does he see Esau in the night, in his imagination, or all the unnamed others whom he has tricked over the years? Does he see himself, his own distasteful name and history? God haunts Jacob in what must be his worst night ever, full of dread at the past and dread at the future. Yet Jacob is not destroyed, because God doesn't seek Jacob's defeat in the night, rather his transformation. Like firing changes iron into steel, or clay into ceramics, a life and death challenge changes Jacob forever. When the cold sweat breaks and the morning dawns and Jacob is finally free, he comes out on the other side, we're told, with a limp and with a new name. Jacob's limp testifies to how much the wrestling encounter cost him, but it's also proof that this really happened and that he survived it. The limp is a scar that tells a story of healing and of overcoming that he'll have with him for the rest of his life. And his new name, do you remember what it is?
Israel.
That too is a badge of honor. Israel means both God strives and the one who strives with God. Israel, God wrestler. Jacob the trickster has become God wrestler. God gets intimate, up close, and personal with Jacob, not to destroy him, but to goose him into greater growth. In the crucible of night wrestling, Jacob's challenge leads to permanent transformation. Can you think of struggles in your own life that have felt like this night wrestling? I suspect there are times when all of us have felt like we're under assault, even from God, perhaps. when we're forced to grapple with our identity and history in ways that cause us to die to our past selves. Yet the good news is that God wrestling leads not to death, but from death into new life when the morning dawns. The author Parker Palmer has written about his long struggles with depression. He spent months at a time barely leaving his home, being visited by only a few friends. Yet on the other side of it, Parker Palmer has come to describe his depression as a friend. It forced him to slow down an unsustainably hectic life, and it pushed him so far down, he says, that he could finally feel solid ground again. What are the challenges that have changed us forever? There are times which cause our whole lives to be measured in before and after. Perhaps when you went through major surgery and haven't felt the same since. Or a fall that has made you more fragile or impossible to do the things you used to do. Maybe it was when your beloved passed away and now you are finding your way as a single person again. Perhaps it was coming out as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Perhaps it was a divorce that changed your name or your identity again. Perhaps it was downsizing at your company that led to unemployment. What struggles have transformed you or are in the process of doing so right now? Night wrestling with identity and history is something that happens for each of us, and also all of us as a society. The abolition of slavery and the Civil War, one example from our own country's history, and the civil rights movement as well, wrestling and new growth. I believe we're in such a time again now, wrestling with ourselves and our history as a country. In the words of an article from Time magazine on the Black Lives Matter movement, one of the guiding principles of the protest movement is that discomfort can bring change. Wrestling can bring new growth. Our struggles and our defeats, as well as our victories, give us new names and can define us again. Existential threats to our identity or our purpose will never be easy or immediately understood as good. But on occasion, and by the grace of God, looking back on them later, they may appear as a blessing in disguise. And as Jacob, now Israel, models for us, wrestling with God and ourselves until the daybreak may end with a blessing, even though one might limp afterwards with the scars of the battle. May it be so for you, for me, and for all this broken yet still beautiful God-blessed earth. Amen.